Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Good morning to you and welcome in. Thanks for listening as always. Wednesday means our NFL power rankings coming up a little bit later in the show. Do that as 12:45 as we always do. Danny, how was your Tuesday night?
No sports. Weird night, right? Just one of those weird scheduled evenings. No Caps, no Wizards. I guess a little college hoops action. Didn't check much of that out, though. Once I got the kids into bed, ripped off a couple episodes of Goliath. Billy Bob Thornton just going out there and kicking people's ass. He's awesome. Play a little video games. Very casual. Very cash Tuesday night. How about yourself? You had an adventure yesterday, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get into what happened. It was like a sad thing that I saw in my neighborhood. One of my neighbors lost his dog yesterday, and I was sat, unfortunately, kind of on the scene when it happened, so to speak. We had an issue in the neighborhood where a dog got loose, attacked his dog. It was brutal, man. It's one of the saddest things I've seen. So I won't even get into the details of that. But I will say that I am ready for a good Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll take that.
With my pal Danny Rie talking about sport. Tomorrow, NFL Week 12 kicks off, which will be good. The news of the morning is that Gerardo Parra, the baby shark, has signed a deal to go play baseball in Japan with the Nippon Professional Baseball League. Gerardo Parra, who I think most of us remember, came to Washington from San Francisco as a guy who was hitting under 200 and making very little impact after he got DFA'd by the Giants. He played in 90 games with the Nats and hit about 250, 8 home runs, 42 RBI. Look, on the field, he was a bit player. He was a bench performer. There wasn't a lot he was going to give you after you sign him that was going to change anything about your club on the field. However, he gave this team more in the clubhouse and in the dugout than anyone could have ever imagined. I still remember his first game with the Nationals. My father-in-law happened to be in town. He was sitting in the living room next to his daughter, my wife, and he goes, "Who is this guy? Is he any good?" I said, "Not really. Decent defensive player, can run a little bit, may lay some bunts down." I said, "He's not going to help us. He's not going to solve this team's problems." Couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah, he was, you know, like we made fun sometimes of when people had like funny business card names or like some weird title that, like, we were, like, content production specialist, whatever you want to call it. We're just radio hosts. You know, that's all we are. Like, he was in charge of club chemistry. Like, that was the guy that whose very job, his very role was to make sure everyone had fun. He was, like, the executive in charge of fun. He was, like, one of those camp counselors at a fun sleepaway camp where all you do is art projects.
It started by, I think, just lifting some of his teammates up with pep talks and getting into the head of Victor Robles and Juan Soto and helping further develop them. Now, then he starts wearing some shades that are funny colors, you know, pink or yellow during games. And he and Anibal Sanchez become, you know, class clown characters, so to speak, on the bench in the dugout during these games. And then he starts getting everyone to dance after they hit home runs. And they start to have these dance parties. And before long, he needed a new walk-up song. So his kid, who's a toddler, loves the song Baby Shark and chose Baby Shark as his walk-up song. And that became the anthem for the team over the course of the year. He ended up being one of the most valuable players on the Nationals. That's not overstated, in my opinion. Do you think? I mean, look, everyone's going
to
quantify numbers are on field.
Yeah.
But you tell me, if Gerardo Parra never showed up, would the Nationals have won the World Series?
No.
I would say no to that.
I'd say no to that.
Would they have made the playoffs?
Isn't that amazing?
Maybe not. Yeah, here's what's amazing about it, is before this year, I never would have thought somebody who was so pedestrian on the field could be so vital to a team. But I've said this a couple times, the 2019 Nationals, learning experience for me. I'll never take on-field performance and in-clubhouse chemistry and separate them by the Grand Canyon size gap that I used to. I won't do that anymore. I think talent still is the most important thing.
Right, because you don't win unless Anthony Rendon hits the home run of Zach Greinke, too.
You got 9 Gerardo Parras, you probably don't make the playoffs either.
You have a great team dinner, but you don't win any games.
But it doesn't change how vital he was to this team.
Yeah.
He showed up and this group and what he did. He's got to be one of the most popular players ever who wasn't actually that good.
So you think of that graph, like as you're plotting different things on like the 4 points or the different corners, the production versus popularity. Production very low, popularity incredibly high.
Yeah,
insult to the guy. I mean, he made some plays, threw a couple guys out, had a couple big pinch hits. Nothing wrong with what he did. But seriously, this is not Juan Soto. This is not Trey Turner. It's not Strasburg, right?
If you're doing a graph where the x-axis is how great you are at baseball, and the y-axis is how important you were to the team, I don't know that there's ever been a dot drawn in DC sports that was higher vertically but yet closer to the up and down line. I need to go back to 7th grade and Mrs. Tilling to figure out. It's the y-axis. I don't know if it had another name beyond that.
So you're saying access, it needs to be axis. The access is like you open up a door, you access a door.
A Comrex machine?
Yeah, like an AXIS.
So I'm stressing the wrong letter.
Yeah.
I apologize. No,
but I don't know if it's the wrong letter. I think you're saying the wrong word.
AXIS is what I'm saying.
Yeah, an axis.
Okay, so I'm pronouncing it wrong. Axis?
Okay.
How do you want me to say it?
No, you got it.
Okay. The y-axis?
Yeah.
That's
up and down.
Where the dot is. But I don't know. Has there been somebody else in D.C.? Has there been somebody else? I don't think with the Nationals, obviously. But that we loved more who on the field helped less? Because you can't say he didn't help. He did. On-field performance generally is how you get appreciation from fans.
Yeah.
Fans don't really care about the other stuff that much. They don't care if a guy like Garnett Hathaway answers questions and steps up to the media after he spits in someone's face. They don't care if a guy like D'Angelo Hall after a bad game stands there for 10 minutes and takes every question from all comers on how bad he was. I care about that kind of stuff. Fans don't always. They just care about on-field performance.
Did you win, et cetera?
Who's ever been more popular having done less? We call it the Gerardo Parra All-Stars. Can we add anyone to this team?
I don't think he's topped. He's the captain of this squad.
Someone else is higher?
No, I'm saying I don't think he's been topped. He's the captain. He is the guy that gets to draft the team, somebody that's in there. I thought of a couple guys throughout DC sports history where the production, not special, but were beloved for various reasons. For example, Laron Prophet went to Maryland, was perfectly good at Maryland. Not a productive NBA player. Every time he checked into the game, ovation because he went to Maryland. People recognized him.
For a short time.
Short time.
But he was not beloved by DC sports fans.
Again, that's why he doesn't equal Gerardo Parra. Mike Sellers, fullback, Washington Redskins. Fine. Nothing wrong with Mike Sellers. He fumbled an outrageous amount when he actually touched the ball. It was a blocking back. Got to the point that Clinton Portis wanted him benched. But he was outrageously popular for a while because the idea of like a big fullback that's coming downhill.
I believe, and this sounds crazy, so I'm going to have to look this up. Just saying it out loud sounds wrong. I feel like he made a Pro Bowl, Mike Sellers did. I feel like
Does
I
that
remember
make him too good?
Pictures of him in Hawaii. So he being a Pro Bowler, in my opinion, that disqualifies him from this conversation.
So there's a star in 2008 next to his name. He may have made a Pro Bowl. Son of a bee sting.
So you can't have him on this list as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, because I'm feeling 12 receptions for 98 yards on the season.
But he wasn't paid to catch the ball.
I know.
You know what that means to me when you see 12 catches for 200 yards? Wow, that fullback had a hell of a year.
98 yards. 12 for 98.
Whatever, I don't care. It's 6 yards.
He rushed 6 times. He had 18 touches on the season and was a Pro Bowler that year.
I think you're missing the point of what a fullback does.
Maybe he's too good.
They don't get the football. They block. And that year that Clinton Portis went ham sandwich, remember you grab his jersey from behind
Just
follow him everywhere?
And it's like guiding him.
But do you agree that if you make the Pro Bowl, you get disqualified?
Maybe. Maybe it's too high.
You got another one on your list?
I'm going to go back. But again, it'll never approach the how beloved this guy was. I tried to think of a couple Nationals. Me personally, Gary Majeski, the reliever, with his funny beard, back in the mid-2000s, I loved that guy as a right-inning arm for that weird bullpen that was excellent. The Nationals first came to D.C., Leivo Hernandez, sub four. Esteban Loaiza, sub four. John Patterson, sub four. Chad Cordero closing games down. And that bullpen was really good with Luis Ayala, Joey Eishon, and Gary Majeski. But nowhere near as beloved as
Robert Parra. I don't think there were 10 Nats fans that liked him. That might have been your answer.
We loved him. We loved that guy, me and my boys.
800-636-1067 is the number.
Hard. This is a hard list to come up with.
Doesn't seem easy. I'm going to give you a couple of my suggestions next. The player that you loved the most that helped your team the least, who would that have been? Grant and Danny on the fan.
Everybody knows it's all about giving thanks this time of year. And nobody knows it better than my guys over at Ted Britt Ford. They're thankful. Tell you why. 60 years in business. 60 years serving folks just like you and me, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. It's the best buying experience in town. I should know. I've done it three different times. That's right. Three different cars from Ted Britt Ford over my lifetime here in the recent years. 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. Ted Britt for life. Confidence for life. Powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life. They take care of it for you. Let them. Prices can't be beat. The best selection of new Fords and two first-class service facilities in Fairfax and Chantilly. And right now, pretty cool special going on. You don't pay them anything for 60 days on pretty much every model on the lot. That's awesome. In addition to that, how about $16,300 below MSRP on a 2019 F-150? How about $15,000 off a 2019 Ford Mustang? How about $9,000 off a 2020 Ford Explorer? So many deals. And they'll take care of you again for life. Let them. Let them win your business. That's how they think of it. That's how they've been in business for 60 years. Go see them in Fairfax and Chantilly. And when you do, tell them Danny sent you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Swinging a high fly ball, hit well to center field. Zimmer going back, way back, warning track wall, leaping. He can't get it, it's gone. Zoom goes Parra. It's a grand slam. The third of Parra's career. And they will do the baby shark.
Charlie Slows has heard this September right here on 106.7 The Fan. Gerardo Parra today agreeing to terms to play in Japan. Nippon Professional Baseball League. I believe he's going to be playing for the Ham Fighters. Gerardo Parra came to Washington with no fanfare and baseball people thinking he'll be here for 2 weeks. And by the end of the season, he was the guy that ran the clubhouse and organized the team dance parties and got everyone feeling good about themselves. On the field, he had some huge moments in the regular season as well. Ended up being largely just what you'd expect when he got here, a bench player who could come through in the pinch occasionally. But I'll never forget what he provided, and without him, they don't win the World Series.
He should never pay for a beverage in this town. If he happens to cross through D.C., you got to buy him a drink, whatever he's drinking, coffee, tea, water, alcohol, I don't care. You buy
what
him
a sweetheart
drink.
That guy is,
absolutely.
By So he's going to get $2 million this year and a chance of $5 million if his option vests, which is more than he would have made in the big leagues to go play in Japan.
And so the you think about sports in history. They're, as guys rise up through the ranks as executives or coaches, whoever, everybody's got a guy, right? Everyone's got a guy. That's one of Mike Rizzo's guys. Mike Rizzo tried to bring him in here a couple years ago. Remember, the learners said no. That was the report, right? They didn't want to expand the payroll for just a couple million bucks for to pay for him the rest of the way. Like, if Mike Shanahan gets a job tomorrow, Corey Lichtensteiger will be his left guard. You know, like, everybody's got a guy. That's one of Mike Rizzo's guys, and you can see why. It's helped a little bit baseball-wise, made a couple big throws, a couple big pinch hits, and had that huge hit in the Dodgers series. There were great moments for him individually, but we know he regressed to what he was. But what he did off of the field, I can't put a value on that.
You know, by the way, that someone in a marketing meeting in Japan with that ball club that signed him, Nippon.
That's right.
They were saying, we got to get the baby shark here. We'll get everyone in the ballpark doing the baby shark.
This is an important addition for us. we need some shark action.
So in honor of Gerardo Parra, we're starting the show. It doesn't sound great, but this is meant to be very respectful. Players that were loved the most, that were beloved in D.C., that did the least on the field because of maybe their personalities or something about them that just drew fans to them. That's the question, 800-636-1067. I came up with two. You just rattled off a list. Give yours really quickly.
So, Laurent Prophet got ovations every time we checked into the game because he went to Maryland for Wizards fans, but doesn't approach this. Mike Sellers is who I came up with for the Redskins, but may have been too good because he made a Pro Bowl. And my personal one for the Nets, Gary Majeski back in the day. Just was a reliever for a short time that I loved that guy.
So I think we could do this. I think you could give yours, even if it's not mainstream appeal. I mean, the original topic was kind of beloved in D.C., but Danny gives us the Majeski angle. Got me thinking about guys I loved that weren't that good. There's a lot of them for the Caps, by the way, because I'm a fourth line guy. It's like Matt Hendricks. I had his jersey. And it was really sad when he left.
Called him on the air and told him that you loved him?
Yeah, he's just a dude. That's all he is. He's just a normal guy. But if you want to call with yours, that's fine. So I came up with two that I think the fan base loved, and you look back and you go, how was he so popular? The first one was for the Redskins, Rock Cartwright.
That's a perfect answer.
He was a seventh-round pick out of Kansas State, and he played 8 years in Washington, which is pretty stunning when you think about it. He was mostly a special teamer, and he was a kick returner. And I hate to besmirch Mark Rock Cartwright because he's my guy. He was a big, slow, plodding kick returner. He was only 5'7" and a half, but he weighed about 220 pounds. He was just a brick bleep house. I mean, he was the most fit kind of ball of muscle you've ever seen in your life. But it wasn't quick twitchy. It wasn't Darren Sproles. It wasn't speed. It was Rock was the perfect name. He was just a complete muscle that stood 5'7" and moved around in human form. Redskins fans loved him. If you look at his career numbers, he had, I think, around 4 yards per carry, less than 1,000 yards in a decade in the league, and some of his success even came after he left here with Oakland.
He had a kick return against the Cowboys for a touchdown that took 20 seconds. It's the slowest kick return for a touchdown in history.
But his name was Rock.
People loved that dude.
People loved him. I was one of them, by the way. Your boy was a Rock Cartwright mark. Here's another one. I don't know if you'll give me this one or not, so feel free to tell me he didn't reach that appeal. But if you are a Caps fan and you're kind of around Caps fans a lot, the amount of love for Michael Latta for a little while was crazy to me.
Good one.
Not to mention, Michael Latta came over with Tom Wilson in the Marty Erat trade. It's not with Tom Wilson, sorry. With Marty Erat in the Philip Forsberg trade. So that trade was, we got rid of, in D.C., one of the great prospects in the history of the organization and in hockey over a 10-year span, who, by the way, scores 25-plus goals every year, is an outstanding player with Nashville now.
Wish we had him.
Brought back Erat, who did nothing for a year and a half with the Capitals, and Michael Latta. He was best friends with Tom Wilson, lived with Tom Wilson, little guy who fought. He played more games than I would have thought, 113 games over 3 years with the Capitals, at 17 total points. He really didn't do anything. He's never played in the NHL since. Caps fans loved Michael Latta. You giving me that one or no?
You can have that one. You can have that one because all my Caps are guys that were longtime players that produced. Guys like Michael Pavanka, Kelly Miller, just consistent and fine players for so long that I loved, but like they were too good for this list.
Yeah, those are good players.
They're too good for that, you know?
Those guys did a lot.
Yeah, they accomplished an awful lot. They're always in the postseason.
And again, if you're just jumping in the car, the point of this topic is guys who did nothing who were loved. Let's go to Jeremy and Annandale, Grant and Danny. What's up, Jeremy?
First I want to say appreciate you guys. I've been in town for 40 years and by far the best sports show we've had.
So oh, you're a sweetheart. You thank you.
So, yeah, keeping on line with the Caps fourth liners, the professor, Matt Bradley, was one of my favorites.
You know what? That's really good. Brad's never scored more than 10 goals with the Caps, but he was a little guy who fought. Generally, that's one way to do it. He ended up wearing a letter on his sweater, I'm pretty sure, here in Washington before he left. Still works for the organization, by the way. Let's go to Greg in Rockville.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are
you? Buddy, what's up?
Good.
So I got to go with Babe Laufenberg. He was watching Redskins third string quarterback, 1983, 1984, 85, 86 seasons. And I had to look him up because I had long forgotten about him. But on his Wikipedia page, it references, took me to a place that was a Washington Post article in September 26, 1986, in which it describes Babe as Mr. August for the Redskins.
I know some Mr. August, Greg. So give me your file on him because that's before my time.
I mean, the quintessential great personality, backup quarterback, actually came in and beat the Redskins once a long time ago for the Cowboys, I believe, if memory serves me right. But he was just a wonderful personality, great guy to have around. I don't know if he actually ever played for the Redskins. I don't know if he played.
Just preseason?
Yeah, I don't know if he played in a regular season game for the Redskins. I'd have to look that up.
He was on the Chase Daniels plan. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We can do one more of these. Take a couple more of your calls before we move on to trying to figure out how many wins the Redskins have left on their schedule. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're going to go through the Redskins' schedule and try to find wins in a minute. And we're going to ask you how many more wins you think they'll manage. Right now, they are 1-9. Every victory will ruin draft positioning, but every victory might bring a little bit of a smile to somebody's face in town. We'll try to sort out the schedule and find a few next on G&D here on The Fan. Before we do that, let's put a bow on our discussion. If you're just jumping in the car this morning or you've been missing the show to this point, first of all, you should be using our rewind function and feature on radio.com. 24-hour rewind. It's like DVR for radio. So you can skip around through the show from back to the beginning. After we're done, it's how you can podcast us for up to a day. You just rewind for 24 hours at a time. It's a pretty cool little function that only we have at radio.com. Make sure you download our app so that you can do that. But the topic we're having right now is that Gerardo Parra is gone. The baby shark is leaving. It's a sad day in D.C.
Yeah.
He meant a lot to this team. Almost all of what he provided came off of the field over the final few months of the season. So we're talking about the most popular, beloved players in D.C. sports history who did the least on the field. Let's go to Mike, who's in Baltimore. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well. I have a couple. My first was Brandon Banks. I don't even know what happened to him.
Oh,
but
wow.
That's great.
He was always exciting to get on the field, and then, I don't know, he got injured in a fight or got stabbed or something. But then for hockey, Craig Berube, it's kind of in the Matt Hendricks world.
Yes, similar guys. I like that. I'm going to circle back to Banks, who I covered for a little bit. I just know I got a million questions and comments about him every single day. I think it was a size thing with him. Now, there are certain reasons occasionally why we love these guys.
Sure.
I think with him, you saw a dude who was about, what was he, 5'8", maybe?
If five, that, right?
He was probably smaller. Yeah, 5'6", 5'7". And he weighed 170 pounds, yeah. Less probably. Tiny guy.
Little fella.
But he got out there, and he had the Jets, man.
He was always this close to a touchdown, according to his body language after every play.
He certainly was. This is a perfect answer. Jeff's in Reston. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Sticking with the Washington Nationals, now this guy started for a little while, but it wasn't until he was a bench player until he got popular. What about the original Shark, Roger Bernardino?
Perfect. That's the perfect answer. I can't believe I didn't think of him.
The first Shark in the tank?
The people loved him, A, because of the nickname, B, his hair, the occasional highlight catch, and the occasional, oh my God, type play, right? He's the kind of guy that could lay down a bunt single in the first, homer in the third, rob a catch in the fifth, and then strike out 27 straight times in the games following after he showed you something amazing. But people loved that dude.
Some great answers. It's good to reminisce a little bit on the Gerardo Parra All-Stars. But legitimately to him, I say thank you. And
here,
to his family, best of luck. He's got a chance to make upwards of $5 million the next couple years. My guess, Danny, is he's back in the big leagues at some point. A lot of guys go over there when they're not sure they're going to get a chance to start here because they can play every day. And if you go over to Japan and you play every day, the exchange rate is that you're going to hit more home runs in their ballparks against their pitchers. Normally, you can get a little bit more money when you come back if teams view you then as a guy who plays more.
Yeah, it's smart. It's one of those you could hold off for a league that's, or you know, you could wait on a league that's basically casting aside veteran players left and right, even though the Nationals buck that trend with a bunch of vets in their locker room, the oldest team in the league winning the World Series this year. But still, the trend, I think, is sort of pushing everybody in one direction. Go play, go get some money, hit some bolts, have some fun, eat some sushi, and then come on back.
Six games left for the Redskins. Let's find the W's. So the way we should do this is the way that me and my dad used to decide what we were going to watch as videos at home. And we're going to watch a movie. We're going to go maybe pile or just say no. They're going to lose that game.
Okay.
So let's first just find a maybe pile. Redskins-Lions on Sunday.
This might be hot. I think that's the maybe pile.
I do too. I mean, here's why it's not hot. It's the Lions with a backup quarterback. That doesn't mean you're picking the Redskins to win. We're just saying, if they won, would it be shocking?
Is Stafford definitively out, by the way?
I have not seen that he's been ruled out, but last week when it was determined he wasn't going to play this week, they made it sound like it was going to be a few weeks.
Okay.
Someone came out, I don't know if it was like one of these pro football doctors who like provides fake analysis without ever looking at the players' medicals,
right,
or who it was. Someone came out and said it could be several weeks with this injury before he's himself again. Redskins-Panthers in Charlotte on December 1st.
I think that's a no pile. Even though the Panthers haven't looked good the last couple weeks, I still think they're a lot better than the Redskins are.
The Panthers, they've been terrible lately. They'll outclass the Redskins. And when was the last time the Skins went down to Charlotte and didn't get their butts handed to them? That's just a place that has not been kind
to them. Anecdotally, yeah.
Now, Cam Newton's not playing, but there was a point a month ago where it looked like Kyle Allen, not Brandon Allen, not Josh Allen, but Kyle Allen, might have been even an upgrade from Cam Newton at quarterback. I'll say loss. Packers, I don't even think we need a debate.
No pile.
On the road in Lambeau in December, how bad does it get is kind of my question.
That's a 35, 40-point loss.
And here's what I'm pre-upset about in that game. Preston Smith's 2.5 sacks.
Yeah.
Or does he just get 5, which is half of what he got in his best season in Washington? You host
terrible.
The Eagles on December 15th.
I think that's a no pile.
See, division games to me sometimes are a little different in terms of ruling them out right away. I'll say no because I think Philly's going to be playing for its season still.
Yep.
After their loss to New England, they're 500 now. They'll have no area to slip up in week 15. So I'll say no also. Giants December 22nd. I'm going to put in the maybe pile.
Maybe pile for me.
Cowboys week 17. December 29th.
I'm going to try to sneak one by you into the maybe pile.
Seriously?
Because I think their season may have been wrapped up. They may not need it for playoff seating. They may be done. They may rest people.
How could their season be wrapped up already? They're only a game ahead of the Eagles.
If Philadelphia goes in the and Dallas is a couple games up in week 17, they don't need it. They're locked into whatever it is, the lowest division winner seed. That's why it's in the maybe pile for me.
All right, so let me do this real quick. The Cowboys have the Bills, Bears, Rams, Eagles, and Redskins left.
It's a more challenging schedule.
If they beat the Eagles and somehow win three of the other four, then obviously they ran away with this thing. All right, I get what you're doing. I'm not going to put it in my maybe pile because I think the Eagles have a softer remaining schedule.
The Eagles do have a softer remaining schedule. There's no question there. After Seattle, which they could, let's say they're 5-6, Dolphins, Giants, Redskins, Cowboys, Giants. That's a terrible down-the-stretch schedule.
To me, there's no way the Cowboys have it wrapped up. And you know who loves having to win to get in Week 17 is Dallas. That's like how they make the playoffs almost every time they do. Think about how many times you've seen that over the last 7 or 8 years.
It's a staple down there in Dallas.
So I'll say no, you're throwing it in your maybe pile. So now I've got two games to go back to. I've got the Lions and the Giants. I say the Redskins win one of those. They get to 2-14, but see, I've been thinking all along 3-13 just because.
Just because.
Here's what I'll do.
Go ahead.
I say they win one of those, and they win one that we just said was a no somehow. Maybe it's your Cowboys game. Maybe it's the Eagles game. I say they finish 3-13, and my only logic, it's nothing rational. It's just, it's really hard to go 2-14. It's a little bit less hard to go 3-13.
I think they can find a way. With determination, grit, sheer willpower, and talent, they can get to 2-14. I understand what you're saying.
Are you picking 2-14?
That's what I'm picking. I think they win a game. I think it's one. I don't know who it is.
I'll give them two.
It's maybe the Giants. But even then, the Giants beat the brains out of them.
So let's do this. Let's give the games that we think they'll win next, and then we'll take some calls on this. How many more wins for the Redskins? This matters, people. Draft positioning is on the line. Could they pick first overall? Could they pick second in the draft? They haven't had a pick like that since, without having to trade up, 2000.
Yeah.
It's been Samuels and Arrington. Ever. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. How many more wins for the Skins?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Got them 3-13. Danny's got them 2-14. They beat who?
This is where it gets tough. I think, well, it's either one of two things. Either they beat the Giants, or they beat one of the teams that we think there's no way they're going to win. It's just a randomly great game, and the other team plays terrible, and they eke it out. Maybe there's weather. But I'm going to say the Giants. And I don't feel good about it, by the way. That week, I'll pick against them, even though I'm saying it right now, because the Giants are better than they are. They've got more. They've got more pieces that I would like to have than do the Redskins. But maybe that's the one. Maybe that's the game where they figure it out at home and win a 19-17 kind of game.
I'm giving them the Giants game. I think they lose this week to the Lions. I made the mistake last week of saying they'd win at home against the Jets. I actually think it's easier, to your point, to win on the road, though, for this team at this point. They've lost 9 consecutive home games, only one of them by one possession, only two of them by single-digit points. Of those 9 losses, their average loss has been 16.8 points per game. More often than not, they lose by 3 possessions at home during their 9-game losing streak. But I'm giving them the Giants win, and I'm giving them, I'm going to say, week 17 against the Cowboys. I think they win back-to-back games to end the season. So they get to week 16.
Wow.
1-13, and they win their last two. Giants, Cowboys, back-to-back.
We got momentum going into the offseason.
And I think what happens is something along the lines of what you're saying. I don't think the Cowboys win the division outright by then, but I think they've maybe have a shot to make the playoffs or something. And midway through that game, they sit their starters. And it's a close. It's
or
like
something. Yeah.
They're up like 17-13, and the Redskins win 20-17. That's kind of how I see it. But I think they get to 3-13.
One game they win outright. The other game, something weird has to happen.
Now, what is the chance they actually go 1-15? Because if they do that,
who will they be favored against?
I don't think they'll be favored again. In fact, I know they won't be favored again.
Right?
Maybe in that Giants game if New York has a really bad month before the December 22nd game on the road. But even still, they've got one more win going in if neither team wins again before that. I just think it's possible on the road because you get 3 points for hosting. Although the Redskins in Vegas should be giving 3 points every time they host.
I agree with that.
But the Giants play the Bears this weekend. I don't think they win that.
Even though Chicago's in dire straits right now, I still would say that the Bears win that one,
because the
right?
Bears' defense is still one of the best in football.
Yeah, it's still very good.
They just can't score. The Packers, they're going to get blown out. The Eagles, they're going to get beat.
Now, look at this. Look at this double dip. Look at this little double dip right here that they get at the end of the season.
They play the Dolphins.
Ah.
That could be win number 3 for them.
Dolphins, Redskins. There's your soft landing spot.
So they're going to be potentially coming off a win over the Dolphins into that Redskins game. So there's no way at 3 wins they'd be underdogs at the 1-win Redskins. So, yeah, they probably won't be favored again. But I guess here's what matters more than their record. Would 1-15 get them the number 1 pick? Is Cincinnati going to win a game?
Cincinnati's got Miami also. That's their chance.
So they could.
I think they've got Miami and the Jets left, if memory serves.
Is the first tiebreaker head-to-head and then...
For bottom stuff? I don't know.
Draft positioning, would it be strength of schedule? Or, like, don't they do a coin flip, I think?
There have been coin flips,
for sure. They do something weird like
that.
Let me look that up for a second.
So I'm looking it up here. So the Bengals, who have been competitive in some of their games of late, obviously the Ravens took them to the woodshed and showed them all the power tools, but Steelers loss, Jets winnable, not saying they will, but they could. Browns, you would say probably a loss there, even though Cleveland could be in chaos. Patriots woodshed at the Dolphins, and then the Browns again. The Bengals could win a game. The point is, it is not outrageous. It's not outrageous that the Redskins could have the number 1 overall pick. It's not crazy. I wouldn't bet on it, but it's not crazy.
So here's your tiebreaker method for draft order. Overall ties are broken, obviously, by strength of schedule. We knew that. A calculation of the combined record of all of the teams that you played in that year. Divisional opponents count twice. So you almost want to be in a better division because that counts twice. You play those teams twice, which is why. But the AFC North, where the Bengals are, the Ravens' record's going to be so good.
Yeah.
That doesn't help them.
So is that good for the Bengals?
It's good for the Bengals if their division's really good.
I see.
Because they'd get the higher pick. If it's really, really bad, then it's worse for the Bengals. The next thing after that, though, the next tiebreaker would be record against conference opponents. Then they go division opponents. If it's still tied after all that, they do a coin flip. So even though I've heard a bunch about coin flips over the years, there's a lot of ways to sort this out before that.
Yeah, your best strategy is just to lose every game and then let the rest of it sort itself out. If you want that number 1, if you want that pick. Bengals aren't going 0-16, are they? Are they?
They didn't look like an 0-16 team on Sunday, but more often than not this year they have. I mean,
the year the Browns did it, they had leads late in games a couple different times.
True.
I mean, it was hard to do.
They play the Browns in Week 17 in a game that won't matter to either team. I think that makes that hard to predict. They play the Dolphins in Week 16 in a game that won't matter to either team. Like, that's got steal a game so you don't go un.
So you don't go winless. You don't go defeated.
Right. It's really hard to go 0-16, and when you're playing two teams at the end of the season who have completely nothing to play for, and you have a lot on the line because you don't want to be one of the teams that goes down in history as never having won, generally you win one of those games. That's how the Browns did it one year when they won on, like, Christmas Eve or whatever it was against the Chargers. They do play the Patriots again, which is a loss. But their schedule's actually fairly weak, to be honest. They'll lose to the Steelers, who don't have Ben Roethlisberger, who are okay. But then they have the Jets, the Browns twice, the Dolphins, and the Patriots.
Some winnable games in there.
They'll win a game or two.
What kills you, if you're a Redskins fan, you look back, they had Arizona dead to rights, lost by a field goal. They could have had a win. They could be going for two at some point.
Week one, they almost beat Seattle. I had Seattle as my survivor team that week. In a survivor pool, the Seahawks came back and won 21-20. They almost lost that game.
And now I'm remembering, it's why I went Seattle, fraudulent, not real. The Bengals are terrible, and Seattle isn't any good. Now they're what? What are they, 8-2?
That might have been the Bengals' best game of the year. Although I would say the Redskins' best game of the year was Philly in week one, too. That first half, I think they were up 17-0. They threw the long touchdown to McLaurin.
The Vernon Davis hurdle, swim move, football, carry it like a loaf of bread into the end zone tier thing.
Case Keenum looked great in that game. Grant and Danny on the fan. Our friend Will Brinson joins us next in the 11 o'clock hour. Ohio State fans are upset at ESPN's College Game Day and apparently going to boycott their set. They're trying to organize a boycott. I don't think it's going to work.
Too many people.
Delve into that as well on the fan.
We are Grant and Danny for our friends at Window Nation. It's time. You've got to do this. It's nice outside today. It's going to be in the low 50s before you know it. Freezing cold. It's time to winterize your home from the rain, the winds, the sleet, and the snow. It's all coming. 50% off any style window. Make no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 12 months. Plus, get a house of windows, and Window Nation will pay your heating bill until your new windows are installed. We both use Window Nation, and we love them.
Yeah, they've installed over 450,000 windows in over 80,000 homes. The windows are made right here in the area, which is awesome. 97% customer satisfaction rating almost every time, 99.5% of the time. No follow-up service is needed. Get half off your windows without a down payment and no payments and no interest for a year. Plus, you're getting a house of windows and no heating bills that they won't pay for until they are installed. You got to tell them at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or windownation.com. That's your boy, Grant Danielson.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.